G'day and welcome to the Funeral Fix podcast.
I'm Oliver Thompson.
And I'm Yaz Trelope.
The Funeral Fix podcast brings you informative, engaging and inspiring discussions about all things funeral celebrancy, including working with grief, the art of ritual and ceremony, and how, as aspiring or highly qualified funeral celebrants, we have the opportunity to make a huge impact on our communities.
We believe that the work of funeral celebrants is truly special and deserves the spotlight. So whether you're a seasoned celebrant, a fresh face in the industry, or just someone curious about the beautiful world of funeral ceremonies, you're in the right place.
Each episode will be a deep dive into the heart and soul of funeral celebrancy. And we're not just scratching the surface. We're peeling back the layers, exploring the artistry, the compassion, and the incredible stories that make this profession so meaningful.
We're not shying away from the tough conversations either. Grief is a part of life. And as celebrants, we embrace it with empathy and grace. We'll be sharing insights on navigating those sensitive moments and creating ceremonies that truly honour and celebrate life.
So whether you're a funeral industry professional, a celebrant in the making, or simply someone seeking inspiration, join us every fortnight as we dive deep into the world of funeral celebrancy.
It's time to level up your understanding, get inspired, and celebrate the extraordinary world of funerals with the Funeral Fix podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Funeral Fix podcast. I'm Yaz.
And I'm Oliver. And today we're diving deep into the fascinating topic of the art of rituals, mastering symbolism in funeral ceremonies.
I'm so excited about today's episode, Ollie. And I feel like I really do say that every time. But this one I'm especially excited about because this is something that's really close to my heart.
Yeah.
So today we're exploring the symbolism and rituals that we look at in the Funeral Fix course. And we're going to share how incorporating these elements can really enhance the overall funeral experience. But first, I think it's really important to mention that when we use the term ritual, it doesn't necessarily have any religious connotation.
So let's start with a fundamental question posed in our course. What would it look like if you turned what matters most in your life into a ritual? Now imagine extending that idea to the life that you're honoring. What impact could you have by turning what matters most to them into a meaningful, sacred, and healing ritual that the guests could even participate in?
I love that so much, Ollie. And I think that there really is a movement towards this ritualization in a way because it is so powerful. We can't stress enough the importance of creating meaningful rituals at funerals, not just rituals for the sake of it, but meaningful rituals. And a ritual can really be any ceremonial act or action. And the beauty is there really are no rules.
That's right.
But, and this is a really big but, Ollie, and I know that you and I have both experienced this on occasion, and I know that you're going to share an example with us a little bit later. But there's a massive difference between using rituals to fill space or follow tradition, not necessarily because that's a tradition that's meaningful for you, but just because you feel an obligation to follow that tradition, and actually creating rituals that serve a purpose and directly reflect the person who has died.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. For example, I once had a family that said, oh, at this point, you know, we'll release some doves. And look, I know I'm kind of against doves, but I was also very gentle and open to the idea, and I just asked a simple, oh, what's the symbol behind the doves, or why is that something that you would like to incorporate? Because I just thought that if there was a ritual they wanted to incorporate, hey, let's talk about what the symbol is and what we could do that's perhaps a little bit more personal. And the family just responded and said, oh, to be honest, there's no connection to doves. It's just that we've seen it happen before, so we kind of thought that's what we have to do or what we should do. So we just had a little conversation and we unraveled that. And it was just that they wanted to really actually have a moment that symbolized their person they were farewelling. So having known that this particular person was an incredible artist, not only did we have some of their artwork all around the room. We actually had a moment in the ceremony where people either wrote or drew something on a piece of paper and then put that piece of paper onto like a big blank canvas. And then at the end of the ceremony, they were left, or the family was left with a beautiful piece of artwork that they could then take home and keep forever. And also the guests at that particular funeral were able to do something physical that actually I think took them a little bit further on their healing journey as part of that particular moment. So it was so much more personal than perhaps just releasing some albino homing pigeons.
Oh, Ollie, I love that example so much. And I think it really goes to show how working with the family, like collaborating with the family, getting those golden nuggets of information to really find the things that are important to them and to their person, and then using those elements to create a really meaningful ritual as opposed to just doing something because you feel like that's the done thing. And I love as well when I work with families to create these rituals, often having a visual representation. So in your case, Ollie, having everyone then be able to display their poems or display their artworks around the room. I feel like that really creates, like it anchors the space a lot, and it creates an opportunity for people to really express themselves in different ways and actively participate in the ceremony, which is why I love rituals so much. It's not a passive listening. It's not you're just sitting there passively and taking on the information. It's you actually have an opportunity to actively get involved, and that really can help them process some of their feelings, which I find is such an important part of the ceremonial process.
And you can actually see a change in the atmosphere and the way that people are responding to the ceremony when there's like an active ritual that they're participating in as well. Yeah, like we said, it is a really important way that people can begin or continue to heal.
I find it really helps people relax.
Yeah.
And so having them kind of in the first half of the ceremony and then maybe another one at the second half of the ceremony, depending on how long you've got and obviously all of the different moving parts. But even as something as simple as having someone come up at the beginning and light a candle and just set that scene can be a really beautiful way to start off the ceremony and then working up towards these more actively participatory actions that we've talked about. So beautiful. I love it so much.
Yeah. And I think as you're talking to families, you'll begin to hear like key elements about their person. And I think that, like you sort of touched on, that they're the golden nuggets that you can really use as the foundation for perhaps the ritual that you might suggest. And I think, like you said, just picking one or two that resonates the most, like poetry or art.
Yeah. So it is really crucial when you go out and meet with your clients and you have those initial conversations with them to try and get a really thorough understanding of their person and the things that were important to them. So then you can start creatively thinking about how you can bring these elements into the ceremony, because taking the time to infuse creativity and meaning into rituals can be the difference between a good funeral and a really, really great one.
Yeah.
So talk to your clients, dig deeper into the type of rituals they're open to. Sometimes some families don't want to do anything. They are happy for it to just be a simple service with no rituals, and other times they're completely open to having beautiful, creative, no holds barred types of rituals. So gauging with your clients where they're at and meeting them there is also really important, rather than enforcing what we know on them and thinking, oh, this would make an amazing opportunity for this and that. If they don't want that, then that's totally okay too. So I think it's really important to note that we need to meet our clients where they're at and be completely neutral in this idea as well.
Yeah, and I think a ritual doesn't have to be anything that is too complicated either. The act of reflecting or listening to music or watching perhaps a video or a photo tribute or something can still be really ritualistic, but that can take a more passive sort of approach, but still achieve so much as well. So we don't need to overcomplicate it or every time think of the most creative way to reinvent the wheel, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, just meeting the family where they're at can sometimes just just mean, perhaps, we just listen to one of their favorite pieces of music at this particular moment and we don't do anything except for listen and reflect.
Yeah, such a good point. So let's break down the elements of a meaningful funeral ritual so you can incorporate them into your ceremonies. So firstly, identifying the things that matters most to the person who's passed away. So Ollie and I have talked about that. That is really so key in creating a unique or standard, doesn't have to be outside the box, ritual. So what are the things that this person loves? Speak to their family. Maybe they were really into flowers, art, poetry. Maybe it was their family that just meant everything to them. And I had a beautiful ceremony a few months ago, actually by one of our funeral fix graduates, Lindy. She was the celebrant for one of my rite of passage funerals. And the person who died, they really were the most amazing grandparent. And it was so cute because all of the grandkids, they were all grown up by now. And she was an amazing cook, this lady. And all of the grandkids came up and said, oh, I was definitely grandma's favorite. And then the next one came. I think there were like 10 grandkids or something. And they were like, no, actually, I was definitely grandma's favorite. Oh. And then they followed by what the favorite dish was that she made them. So I was grandma's favorite and she loved baking me blueberry pie. And then the next one would come up and say, no, I was definitely grandma's favorite and she'd always make me the best beef stroganoff or whatever it was. It was so beautiful.
I've even seen like little recipe books being handed out at funerals with all their favorite recipes and things like that.
So. I love that so much. It was so touching and that was so simple. But tying in the family aspect and the strong bond that she had specifically with her grandchildren and that love of food and baking. Everyone was so touched by that moment. And so that was a really beautiful way to incorporate some of those elements.
And I think it's important to keep in mind that there should be intention behind every ritual that you're including, like we touched on earlier, not just doing a ritual for the sake of doing a ritual or filling in time or doing it because we feel we have to. It's thinking about its purpose and what that particular ritual is trying to convey. So after you start to pick out the key elements, you can start building some meaning around them.
Yeah. And this is one of my favorite parts of actually building out the ceremony is creating the meaning and the intention behind each ritual. Because as we keep repeating, this is so important because this is where the depth can come into your ceremony. And we talk a lot in the Funeral Fix course about creating elements of light and shade for the audience, where there's opportunities for them to have moments of lightness and joy and laugh that may be through a slideshow or, you know, some of these funnier, lighter-hearted moments. And then the shade, which is where they have an opportunity to maybe lean deeper into their grief. And again, that can also be a slideshow or that could be the music that's played or whatever it may be. And I think that using these rituals and the elements behind them to really think about, okay, what am I trying to convey here? What is the purpose of this ritual? Is it an opportunity for people to express their feelings? Is it an opportunity to help people to laugh and to lighten the mood a little bit? So when you look at your ceremony overall, it creates that real kind of arc, emotional arc, so that you know it's really well-rounded and perfectly structured. So what are some examples of common rituals, Ollie?
Well, we've talked about some simple yet beautiful things that can be done, like lighting a candle. There's also the option of placing flowers or greenery on the coffin or around the urn table if there is one. Like we've said, playing music or a slideshow of photographs is a brilliant way of just taking the time to have everyone reflect and watch the presentation. It's quite common, but it's also quite touching to have that inclusion at funerals or memorials.
Yeah, it definitely is. And to the point of flower and greenery offerings, I had a funeral a few years ago and there were lots of people there and we set up this gorgeous flower bar and it was almost set up like a flower market and it had lots of greenery.
Sounds like a lolly bar.
I know, it was so beautiful because we had a lot of people at this service and we needed to think of a way that we could easily get them to access the flowers so that they could place them on top of the casket. And it was so visually beautiful. And then at the end, there was just this mountain of greenery greenery and flowers on top of the cask, and it was carried out like that. It's so special. It's so beautiful.
And I think even when you think about the budget for ceremonies, sometimes if there are budget restraints, you can think about ways to get guests to actually bring things with them, like something from the garden.
Yes.
Which obviously means they're not necessarily spending a lot of money. It's probably better for the environment if they're not being flown from South America and all those sorts of things. But it's also like they're contributing themselves.
Definitely.
By bringing something from home and placing that on the coffin or wherever it may be as well.
Yeah.
But your flower bar actually prompted a memory of mine where we had a lolly bar because the person who died was really big on this particular brand of lollies, and I'm not going to mention it because we're not being sponsored by them. And so all the guests kind of were able to grab a handful of lollies. They could sort of eat them during the ceremony. But then at the burial, they had some more lollies that were actually thrown on top of the coffin as well. And it was really beautiful because people are kind of standing around chewing on a lolly snake, but then, you know, throwing in a strawberries and cream, whatever it was. It was really sweet, literally. A sweet gesture. But yeah, like it doesn't need to be too complicated or too confusing or too expensive even, though they were premium. They were premium brand lollies, though.
Well, our flowers, the large majority of the flowers were foraged. I often used foraged flowers for families as well. So I live in bushland. So if their budget's really tight, you will often find me walking around the neighborhood finding, you know, twigs and branches and bottle brushes and things like that. And it's so beautiful. But I think what ties these together is that they actually really mean something to the family.
Yeah.
Which is so, so beautiful. I do love notes a lot as well. So love notes might be writing love notes or poems or letters. And it can be a really cathartic way for people to process their feelings and just have that opportunity, maybe if they're not great speakers or they don't feel comfortable speaking, giving them the opportunity to write is really, really beautiful.
Yeah.
Another thing that I've done, which I find is so beautiful for infants and children, is mandalas. And that's arranging flower mandalas in a really kind of beautiful artistic way, maybe on a round jute mat in front of the casket or an urn table, and then having people come up and take a flower off the mandala and maybe put it in the water if we're by the water or something like that, or place it on top of the casket. It's so beautiful.
I'll have to Google flower mandala to sort of know what that is.
Well, you can see one on the Rite of Passage Funerals Instagram page.
I think that is where I actually first heard of a mandala. Yeah. But that looked so beautiful. Yeah, but also one thing that I'm seeing a lot happen lately is drawing or writing on the coffin. So just having a big bunch of beautifully coloured, you know, markers, really nice, good quality paint markers, Posca. I wasn't going to mention the brand, but Posca, if you're listening, we will take funding. But by having that moment where people can actually come up to the coffin, write something, especially if there are kids there, it is a really, really beautiful way of bridging that gap, and that this coffin or this person's up there at the ceremony, there's no reason why that has to be kind of separated. And it's a really great way to kind of prevent any alienation sort of feeling. But also as a celebrant, kind of incorporating something, especially for larger services like a call and response, can be really powerful. So, you know, having the guests repeat something after you, or having the guests do a memorial group cheers or something, having a drink perhaps passed around. Recently, I did a ceremony where we all got given a little glass of bubbles and we did a cheers at the end of the ceremony. Mm. And that was just a beautiful way to kind of end the ceremony, but gave, you know, someone, but gave everyone something to actually do. And it was a really great way to kind of take it from the ceremony into the refreshment time as well. So people were ready to celebrate that life and continue to mingle. And words as well are so important and so powerful that, you know, for the wordsmiths, perhaps you could ask guests to just write one word of their favorite memory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and that could be placed on the coffin, in the coffin, or, you know, it could be in a card that goes back to the family something like that.
Yeah, I did that recently with a service where I actually asked family members to write the words ahead of time, mm-hmm. and then I had them designed and printed on these beautiful note cards, and they were displayed on string in the room all around. So when they walked in, there was the coffin there, and then there were all these beautiful words that they used to describe their person already in the space. Mm. It was so beautiful. I love that.
Even thinking about the space, what about seating arrangement? Does it need to be, you know, theater style, or
yes.
can you mix it up a little bit?
Absolutely. And I think of as celebrants, we can flex this muscle a little bit and really think about the ceremonial space and break the tradition of rows. I often mix it up and have guests in a circle or semicircle yep. around the casket. They may even want to bring picnic blankets and rugs or cushions if it's outside and sit on those. There is a real opportunity for us to work with the funeral director and the family to think about the ceremonial space and what that looks and feels like, and really challenge the norms on that, which is always exciting. You know, we love doing that.
Yeah, I really love that idea. Recently, I had it was actually a small group, maybe about 10, 15 guests, and we had the coffin in the middle with all the seats in a semicircle. There was no lectern, or they didn't want anything like that resembled those kind of, what would you say, you know, modern traditional elements of a ceremony. So we didn't even have a microphone, and the guests that spoke or shared eulogy just stayed seated. They kind of had this really beautiful, almost like a conversation. It was really interactive. It was really beautiful. I was still there to kind of navigate some of that and to keep people, you know, on topic or on time, because we did have a, you know, bit of a time constraint. But regardless, just having that, the seating in that particular position, really helped people be able to see each other and really have these connections throughout the ceremony. And then, yeah, with the coffin being right in the middle, it was like that person was there, part of that conversation as well. So goosebump stuff. It was beautiful.
Oh, I love those goosebump ceremonies. So the power of rituals in modern funeral ceremonies can't be overstated, Ollie.
Yeah.
Rituals provide a profound opportunity to honour and celebrate the unique lives that we're helping to honour.
So when we incorporate these meaningful symbols and acts into the funeral ceremony and overall experience, we not only pay tribute, but also create, a space for healing and connection amongst all of the guests.
I think it's also really important to say that rituals go beyond tradition. They allow us to craft ceremonies that are deeply personal and reflective of that person's passions, values, and essence. And that's why really digging and looking for those pieces of gold is so important.
Mm. We're always discovering new ways to provide comfort and healing to ultimately leave a lasting impact on the grieving process and to foster a sense of connection that goes beyond the boundaries of grief. So when you're crafting a ceremony and you're incorporating ritual, feel free to think outside of the box. Be as creative as you like. Remember, there are no rules.
Love that. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Funeral Fix podcast. If you're ready to embark on your funeral celebrant training, visit our website, www.funeralfix.com.au, for immediate access. Use code PODCAST to save $120 off the full price course. Plus, enjoy peace of mind with our 30-day money-back guarantee.
In the spirit of reconciliation, the Funeral Fix acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.